John chapter 14, we're going to look at a couple verses here and go forward them as we talk about the Holy Spirit of God today and the Holy Spirit of God as the Spirit of truth. John 14, beginning of the paragraph, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. The Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth. As we think of the Holy Spirit today, we marvel at this great prediction of the Lord Jesus. This great prediction, this great dispensational picture here in this one verse. It says, he dwelleth with you. Para, alongside of you. But he shall be in you. A great, you might say, dispensational truth about the distinction between the ministry of the Old Testament, Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And that whole ministry is described in two different Greek prepositions. The Old Testament preposition, the Old Testament ministry, is described by the word para, alongside. Translate it with, we understand that. And we recognize that the Old Testament saint had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And no wonder, when the Lord was talking to Nicodemus and told him about the new birth, and Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And Jesus said, how is it that thou, being a ruler of the Jews, knowest not these things? In other words, you're a preacher, you're a teacher of the law, word of God, and you don't know the most basic bottom line simplistic truth in the Bible, you must be born again. Because the Old Testament saint had a relationship to the Holy Spirit. God describes that relationship as alongside. New Testament relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's described as in you. And of course, the Bible says that he may abide with you forever. We're speaking of this permanent indwelling of the Spirit of God in a true believer. But we want to stop here and we want to think about the Holy Spirit. We want to identify the Holy Spirit here today in this text. And I think it's very interesting as the Holy Spirit is identified. And it's interesting as you look at the context, before the Holy Spirit is identified, Jesus says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then after he identifies him, it says in verse 22, "One, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." I think it's very interesting that before he identifies now the Holy Spirit, he's preceding it by saying, "He that loves me keeps my commandments." And he's following up his identification of the Holy Spirit with this same truth, "He that loves me keeps my commandments." Very interesting, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? Now, verse 17, he identifies the Holy Spirit. He tells us, "I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." The Holy Spirit here is identified as the Spirit of truth. Oh, that's important. That's important identity of who the Holy Spirit is. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, we know the Bible tells us that God is the God of truth. God is the God of truth. Let's look at those verses this morning just to be on the subject here. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment." You know what that means? All his ways are judgment. In other words, the ways of God are either are clearly defined as right or wrong. Judgment. Right or wrong. Not in between, not matter of opinion, right or wrong. It says, "He is a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he." Proverbs 31. Let's look there. Proverbs 31 and verse 5. Nope. How did I get that one? That's not the right answer. So we'll have to forget that verse. Pardon me? Proverbs doesn't have 35 verses. Chapter 30, okay. Thank you, Thomas. Doesn't say that either. Wait a minute. Well, that's a good verse. But it's not the verse that I was thinking I wrote down. God of truth. Now, if God is a God of truth, obviously the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Now, let's look at the role of the Spirit of truth. John chapter number 16, verse 13. "Howbeit when he," the Spirit of truth, "has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now, here it tells us that the Spirit of truth will guide the disciples into all truth. That's an important statement there. He would guide them into all truth. That with the disciples, the completed Bible would be made. All truth. And Apostle John ends his last book of the New Testament, let no man add to the words of this prophecy, and let no man take away from the words of this prophecy. Of course, David said, the Bible says, David says, and the Spirit of God, 2 Samuel 23, I believe it is, the Spirit of God spake by me. And now he's quoting, speaking about the Psalms that David wrote. He knew that they were given by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? The Holy Ghost. This Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. As the Spirit of truth, he is the author, the giver of the Bible. He is the author, the giver of the Bible. Now, I have a practical question for you. It's a leading question. Does the Holy Spirit know what the truth is? Does the Holy Spirit know what the truth is? Oh, the Holy Spirit knows what the truth is, yeah. Who gave us the Bible? Who is going to guide the disciples in the completed Scripture, the body of truth, without error? The Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. And what does he say? So, the Holy Spirit, author of the Bible, it would take it that he would know what the Bible says. He would know what the truth is. Can the Holy Spirit ever lead a person contrary to the truth? Maybe it's getting ahead of you. If he knows all truth and he is the Spirit of truth, will he ever lead anyone contrary to what the Bible says? No. He's the Spirit of truth. Now, this is very important. Isn't it interesting that this revelation that the Holy Spirit was going to be given, that he is the Spirit of truth, isn't it interesting? Before he introduces him, he says, they that love me will keep my commandments. Where are the commandments? Where are they? In the Bible. And then after he introduces the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, he says, he that loves me will what? Keep my commandments. Kind of fits, doesn't it? Spirit of truth, author of the Bible. All the commandments are in the Bible. I was talking to a missionary a few weeks ago. And it's interesting. We had a little conversation at around our table. And he said, you know, it was very interesting when I began to study this Bible, this subject, and all I did was study what the Bible said. That was a very profound statement. Say what the Bible said. And so, Albert Barnes said this. The Spirit of truth. He is thus called here because he would teach them the truth or would guide them into all truth. He would keep them from all error and teach them the truth. which either by writing or preaching, they were to communicate to others. He would keep them from all error and teach them the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, this is obviously a very important revelation of who the Holy Spirit is. He is the Spirit of truth. God is the God of truth. I think I've said this many times, but in Revelation 19, when the Lord comes back, it's going to be a shock. And it's going to be a shock because there are all these false ideas of who Jesus is. And there's all this thinking about who Jesus is that's contrary to the Bible. And he's going to come back and on his vesture his name, and his name is called the Word of God. You know what? There's one Jesus. And that's the Jesus of this book. Only one Jesus, and that's Jesus of this book. He's the God. And so, he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit I'm going to give you, he is the Spirit of truth. He is the author of truth. He is the revealer of truth. He is the guide into truth. He is the God of truth. Now, notice the two relationships with the Spirit of truth. Notice the two relationships between the Spirit, about the Spirit of truth. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now notice the two relationships. The relationship of the world and the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the world? The world is the unsaved. The world is the world of the unsaved. Now, this is very important. It may seem very trite, but it's very important. The world cannot receive this Spirit of truth. It cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Now, I like what Barnes says, the world. The word, term world is often used to denote all who are entirely under the influence of the world. Those who are entirely under the influence of the things of the world. Pride, ambition, pleasure. What happens when a Christian is under the influence of pride, ambition, and pleasure? Well, then, there's a problem. But it says, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Cannot receive. I like what Barnes says. They cannot admit him as a teacher or a comforter. Or cannot receive in his offices of enlightening and purifying. They cannot admit him as a teacher or a comforter. Cannot receive in his offices, in him his office of enlightening and purifying. Cannot receive them. Then it tells us why. It says, because it, the world, seeth him not. The world seeth him not. I like what Barnes says. The men of the world are under the influences of the senses. The men of the world are under the influences of the senses. They walk by sight, not by faith. Hence, what they cannot perceive by their senses, what does not gratify their sight or taste or feeling, makes no impression on them. Should I read that again? They walk by sight and not by faith. Hence, they cannot perceive by their senses what does not gratify their sight or taste or feeling or makes no impression on them. Oh, wow. In other words, they see the Holy Spirit. They don't see Him. They don't. The Holy Spirit is unable to make His impression on them. Why is the Holy Spirit unable to make His impression on them? Well, there's two reasons. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Number two, because of what they rely on. What do they rely on? They rely on their senses. They rely on their sight. They rely on their taste. They rely on their feelings. Now, we see a little insight into that in Ephesians chapter 2. When it talks about the lost people. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. And it's talking about Satan's influence. But it describes the life of the unsaved person. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, talking about Satan and the world. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the, what's the next word? Mind. The mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He calls them, verse 2, the children of disobedience. Now notice John 14. You love me, keep my commandments. Precedes the identity of the Holy Spirit. Following the identity of the Holy Spirit, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Spirit of truth. The world does not receive him. It makes no impression upon them. They work in the realm of the world. They work in the realm of, they think in the realm of their flesh, their senses. They think in the realm of their mind. That's all they have. Their mind, their senses. What's he? He's saying a lot of things. Why? Why don't they walk in his commandments? Because they don't have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They don't have the ministry of the Spirit of truth. They look even at the Bible through the senses and through their mind. Maybe you're here and you're saying, well, what else do you have? Exactly. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, that's all you have. And you will read the Bible, and you'll read the truth, It'll make no impression. Make no impression. Because what is he saying? He said, the Holy Spirit ministry is vital to understanding the Bible. Vital. Absolutely, absolutely necessary. Without it, the picture has already been laid, hasn't it? Without it, not obey his commandments. Not obey his commandments. Now, so it says, they see him not. They see him not. His work isn't there. Then it says, neither do they know him. They know him. Now the word here, know, is not the word oida, which means knows the facts. The word here is gnosko. That means they know him by personal experience. They know him by personal experience. They just don't know about him. They know him by personal experience. They know him in their life. They know him as the revealer of the Bible. They know him as the Spirit of truth. They walk with him. He leads them into the truth. There's this relationship with him. It's not knowing about him. Not regurgitating truths. It's a living relationship. I think Brother Flanders, I think he said it from our pulpit, the Christian life is all about your relationship to the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is all about your relationship to the Holy Spirit. And it says the world can't receive him, can't receive its influence, because they're limited by their senses and their mind. That's all they can. And, of course, the context is the idea of truth. You wonder why there's so many different opinions today? Do you wonder why there's so many different opinions? Do you wonder why some people can see the Word of God and it brings them to obedience, and some people, they can walk away with it from nothing, do nothing? Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. And of course, the Bible talks about knowing God in many different places. And it isn't talking about just knowledge about. It is talking about that personal walk with him. Now, I was thinking about that. Think about our relationship to the Holy Spirit. Because he is the Spirit of truth, what does he have in his hand? So to speak. What is the weapon? That great weapon in the spiritual battle of life. It says, Ephesians 6, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Oh! The sword of the Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of what? Truth. And what does it say? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Wow. There's talked about a relationship, doesn't it? Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly don't have the Spirit of truth, nor stands in the way of sinners. They're not obeying the Bible. They don't have the Spirit of truth. Nor sit to see the scornful. They certainly don't have the Spirit of truth. You know why they're scorners? Because they don't get it. They don't see it. They can't get it. They can't see it. You know why? Because their understanding is limited to them, to their senses, to their darkened mind. They can't comprehend the truth, and they mock it. They mock it. What does the Bible say? I like what Barnes... Now, remember, Barnes is hundreds of years old. In other words, what he said is 100 years old. It says, people the world do not approve of or desire the aid of the Spirit. So it is said they cannot receive him. They have no love for him and they reject him. Men often consider his work in the conversion of sinners and in revivals as delusion. They love the world so much they cannot understand his work or embrace him. Isn't that amazing? It's still true. Natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it is the context of the giving of scriptures. And Paul says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. They're foolishness unto him. Yeah. Obeying the commandments, foolishness. Foolishness, foolishness, foolishness. Where'd they get that from? The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. But you know him. You know him. Think about this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4. Verse 29. Let no corrupt, evil communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know him. You know him. Because you know when he is grieved. You know when he is grieved. I am amazed. And I'm amazed at myself too at times. But I am amazed. The words that come out of Christians. the words that come out of their mouth. Some of those words are words that they type out on the internet. I am amazed that they can say those words and continue to say those words. The Bible says, you know him. What does that mean? You know him. You know he's grieved when you say those kind of things. You can't say those things. You say them, but then you recognize the Holy Spirit is grieved. But some people just keep on saying those words. They can talk to people in these horrible words, and it has no effect upon them. And that, what I mean, is they do not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit who is grieved. And so they can continue to say those kind of words. You know, once in a while you get a little bit in the flesh and you say, man, I'd like to answer that. I'd like to answer that. And I say, no. Mm-mm. No. I'm not going there. That isn't right. That isn't the right kind of talk. He says, you know him. You have this relationship with him. It says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 19. It says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. You know, a person who knows the Holy Spirit knows what that means. A person who is saved knows what that means. Unsaved people do not know what that means. But a saved person, they know what that means. You know, probably one of the most horrible things a parent could ever experience is when you tell your child something and they say no. That's one of the most horrible things a parent can experience in life. That's what it means, quench not the Spirit. It means say no to the Holy Spirit. No to the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, if a person knows the Holy Spirit and they hear the Bible preached, they don't have to respond. But if they don't respond, they're saying no. Now, if you're walking with the Holy Spirit and you hear the Bible preached, you know, I don't always preach. I'm in the pew once in a while. And the preacher says, if God spoke to your heart, raise your hand. Wait a minute. He doesn't know if the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart or not, does he? But does God? Huh? Yep. And you say in your heart, yeah, God spoke to my heart, but I'm not going to raise my hand. It's like lying to God, isn't it? It's like lying to God. That quenches the Holy Spirit. And you know, God says, do this. Maybe God says, you know, tonight, why don't you go to that particular gas station? And I say, no, I think I'd rather go to Walmart. Pass out a tract there. And the Lord says, no, that's where you need to go. I can say no to God. I can say no to God. But if you do, you quench the Spirit. And no, that is worse than grieving. It's like a child saying no to their parent, or a child saying no to authority. That is very, very, it's awful. People who can do that, do they know the Holy Spirit? Do they know the Holy Spirit? He says, you know Him. You know Him. You have a personal relationship with Him. You know Him. That's the Christian life. Isn't that wonderful to know the Holy Spirit? How'd your Christian life start off? Well, I tell you what. Your Christian life should have started off, and you read the Bible. Oh, I get it. I get it now. I get it. The Spirit of truth is living in you. Spirit of truth is living in you. You know Him. You know, it's everything. It's everything. When you read the Bible and you don't have the Spirit of truth, your opinion is as good as anybody's. Probably isn't. Because you're going to be at odds with somebody who really walks with the Holy Spirit. But what is it telling us? If you're not walking with the Holy Spirit, you're acting just like the world who doesn't know the Holy Spirit. Right? If you're not walking with the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be just like the world who doesn't know the Holy Spirit at all. You know Him. You know what pleases Him. Jesus, it said of Jesus, He did those things that always were pleasing to the Father. Romans 8:29. You know a child is right with his parents when they want to do what's pleasing to their parents. You don't have to be just a child. I mean, you're a teenager. But if you're a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit, you want to please God. You want to please God. You know what's pleasing to Him. You know certain words aren't very pleasing to Him. You know certain places aren't very pleasing to Him. Certain people's conversations or reading certain things aren't pleasing to Him. Can you imagine living so-called a Christian life and you don't have the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine that? I guess I can't imagine that, but I think I observe it. People trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. And no wonder they go places that they go. No matter, wonder they have friends that they have. No wonder they read certain things and it doesn't bother them. It's no wonder they wear certain things, it doesn't bother them. You know the Holy Spirit. You have a personal relationship with Him. You know that He's holy. You know what grieves Him. You know what pleases Him. You know what quenches Him. And in this context, you know that He has revealed the truth to you, and therefore you obey it. You know, people don't have the Holy Spirit revealing truth to them, they're in trouble. They're in big trouble. They're in big trouble. You know, there's always going to be somebody you can find that's going to say something that contradicts the Bible or minimizes the Bible or says it doesn't say what it says. There's a slew of them out there. How are you going to walk in life if you don't have the Spirit of truth? He said, you know. You know. You know, that's what the Christian life is. Our job is to be walk with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, this great, great, wonderful truth. He is with you, but He shall be in you. Isn't that great? He will be in you. Huh! That's great! I'll never be alone. I'll never be without His presence. He will always be there. Wow. And you know what? It's not this alongside. It's inside. I don't know if we understand how great that is. Inside! Permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now let's see the application. Inside. Wow. You know what that means? That He's inside of you when you're at church. It means He's inside of you when you're at work. It means He's inside of you when you're at home. It means He's inside of you when you're at school. It means that He's inside of you when you're in your car. It means He's inside of you at all times. You know what that means? That means we should be the same wherever we are. That doesn't mean we have a different set of language at work. A different set of language at church. We don't use swear words when we're talking to certain people and other people, we don't use swear words. I mean, a swear word grieves God. He's there. He's also there to make us holy. Wherever we are. He's there to make us holy. He's the Spirit of truth. You know, think of Joseph there in Egypt. Nobody was around. Nobody was around. Mom and dad and family far away. Not a Jew in sight. Right? Not a Levite in sight. And Potiphar's wife tempts him. And he says, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? Did he have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? He did. He knew him, right? Location didn't change it. But how much more so for us? The Holy Spirit living in us. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Preface it, if you love me, keep my commandments. Follows it, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Obvious deduction, if you know the Holy Spirit, what are you going to do? Keep his commandments. Obvious. He gave them. He gave them all. He's the Spirit of truth. He's in us. He's going to give us a spirit of obedience. That's all there is. He's the Spirit of truth. I'm so glad that we have the Spirit of truth. I'm so glad. It's not a voting contest. People voting for the truth. Did you ever ask yourself in the Bible, did they ever vote for what was the truth? Never. The truth is always the truth. God is the God of truth. It does, and he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. The truth doesn't change, and God doesn't change. And our life should always be building, building, building on the truth. Now there's a simple application here. You know, there was a day, if you're saved, there was a day the Holy Spirit said, you're a sinner. There was a day when the Holy Spirit said to you, if you're saved, there was a day when the Holy Spirit said, that was wicked. And you had an opportunity to respond to the Spirit of truth. You could have said no. If you're saved, you said yes. The Spirit of truth said something like this. That came right from you. It came right from your inside. You liked it. You liked that sin. You wanted that sin. It came from right from the inside. That's who you are. You could have said, if you're saved, you said, that's right. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. The Holy Spirit, somewhere along that line, said something like, you're on your way to hell. and you deserve it. And if you're saved, you said yes to the Spirit of Truth. You said, yes, I'm a sinner. I like my sin. I have a sinful heart. I definitely am on my way to hell, and I deserve it. Somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit showed you Jesus. And the righteous life. Instead of despising it like you used to, you say, oh, that's what I want. That's beautiful. I want to obey God. I want to be different. He said yes to the Holy Spirit. I need Jesus. Person who's saved knows the Spirit of Truth. That's how they got saved. And when they got saved, the Holy Spirit said, that's not right. That's not right. And because the Spirit of Truth is in right, you telling you what's right, you said, you're right. That's wrong. That has no place in my life. The Spirit of Truth is in your life. You know Him. You know Him. He shows you the truth. You're reading the Bible. Oh, that's right. This is what I'm going to do. This is what's right. You know Him. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Or do you just have religion? Do you know Him? Or do you just have religion? Do you know Him? Or do you have fake religion? Do you know Him? It's a glorious thing to know Him. We don't deserve it in any way. But He is the Spirit of Truth. And He is real. And He is a person. And Christianity is a personal relationship with the living God. I dare say there was many doctors of the law in the days of Jesus. But they didn't get it, did they? Because they only knew the Bible through their senses and through their mind. They did not have the Holy Spirit to teach them. And so when the Savior came, they rejected Him. Oh, thank God for the Spirit of Truth. Thank God that He lives within us. Thank God that He makes the Bible real. Thank God that we know the truth. Thank God we have a living relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of Truth. And the result will always be the same. If you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. Always be the same. Let's pray. Lord, oh Lord, what an powerful words. He said to the disciples, but you know him. But you know him. And Lord, we are reminded today of the vital, basic truth of the Christian life is that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit of truth, who is not only holy, but he is the Spirit of truth. And Lord, I pray we would be reminded today about our relationship to your Holy Spirit. We're conscious of you. We're obeying you. We know what pleases you. We can sense when we displease you. We can sense and know when we quenched you. We know who you are. And Lord, those who are away from your Holy Spirit, who are saved, I pray that, Lord, they'd be drawn back to a relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to become more aware of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life, in every part of our life. Help us, Lord, right in our homes, be constantly conscious of your Holy Spirit. May not life get so busy and drawn away that we are not conscious of you. Oh God, we pray your Holy Spirit would hover over this church. Even in this building, I pray your Holy Spirit, Lord, would be convicting those that are lost. Lord, help those who are here to be truthful with you. Because we know you're the God of truth, and those who lie to you are saying no to their own soul's future and blessing. With heads bowed and eyes closed.